good question, that Krishna encouraged Arjuna to kill as his dharma, but Narada told Mrugari not to kill. Although for Mrugari as a hunter, that was also his dharma. So there are different kinds of dharmas. First of all, Mrugari was not just killing. What was Mrugari doing? Half killing. Half killing means, it's like you could say, killing is painful, half killing is double painful. So he was causing unnecessary pain. And that was, first in Albumin, just asking that, why are half killing animals? At least kill them completely. So that was what Albumin's first point was. Now, as far as dharma is concerned, we need to understand that the word dharma has different meanings in different contexts. That somebody, like some duties are essential for the maintenance of society. Say for example, the police or the military. Sometimes they have to attack, sometimes they have to kill. Because that killing is required to keep aggressors or lawbreakers under control. So that is essential for the upkeep, for the maintenance of society. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. Kshatriya is a martial guardian of society. And for him in that context, it was essential. Duryodhan was such a brutal person that he had tried to disrobe Draupadi in public in the assembly. Nowadays sometimes whenever some sexual assault case comes up against women, it creates a big furor in the media. Now it's definitely horrible when something like this happens. But at the same time, usually if some animalistic like person, they violate a woman, you know, they will probably abduct the woman, drag her somewhere into private and do something with her. If somebody tries to molest and violate a woman in public in front of everyone, you see, this person is brazen. Imagine if somebody goes to the police station and in front of the police, somebody violates a woman. That means that person has no fear of law at all. So Duryodhan was in which category? This third category. He, in the court where people against whom wrongdoing has been done, they come to seek justice, like the police station or the court case or the court. That is where in the royal assembly he was trying to disrobe Draupadi. So, and he never expressed any remorse for that. If at all he had any regret, he said, I was not able to. His regret was that he could not humiliate Draupadi. So for such a person, if such a person was given untrammeled power, untrammeled means no opposition, complete power. Although he ruled for 12-13 years when the Pandavas was in exile, but still he was always afraid. After 12-13 years, Pandavas are going to come back. And that's why he was at his best, trying to win over the citizens. But if the danger of the Pandavas had not been there, such a person would have been brutal to everyone. So a person like that had to be punished. The Pandavas tried everything possible to avoid the war. And after all other alternatives had failed, then that war was chosen. Krishna himself went as the peace messenger. Krishna was the greatest person. Say, recently in India-Pakistan, there was some tension. So imagine when there's a tension between India and Pakistan, and the Prime Minister Modi goes to Pakistan as a peace envoy. Like the biggest person goes as a peace envoy. That means you're really serious about the peace. And imagine Modi goes to Pakistan and Pakistan tries to arrest Modi. The whole of India would erupt in fury. How dare you do like this? Isn't it? So Krishna went as a peace messenger. And what did Duryodhan do? He tried to arrest Krishna. So that means basically he showed that he had no remorse, no interest in reconciliation. So after all other options had been tried and failed, then the war was fought. So in that case, first of all, the person was brutal and the person was not reformable at all. Then there was no option but war. It was essential for society's well-being. Whereas in the case of Mrugari, very different. First of all, he was causing unnecessary pain. And sometimes some people might get caught, be placed in some situations where they are involved in some social or economic situation where they have to do something bad for just for earning their living. So now in this case, it's a different. I know somebody who, I know I was in New Zealand, so I met one person, Indian, who has gone there and he had started a hotel. And his hotel was primarily selling non-vegetarian food. So then he became a devotee and then he was asking, what do I do now? So if I tried to shift it to a vegetarian hotel, but somehow that was a place where not all the people vegan are there, but vegan people in another part of the town where yoga and other things were core common. This part is like a mainstream of New Zealand in Wellington. So he said that, you know, I can't earn. So then he gradually decided that he sold his, he actually rented out his shop, somebody else, and then they took up some other business, and then he started doing something else. So gradually he shifted out of there. Sometimes he'll be circumstantially put in a profession where something wrong we are doing. So now we can't say this is my duty and I'm going to do it. Of course we can't say yes, just give it up, and if we have family responsibilities, we have other things, we can't just neglect it. But gradually you have to come out. So we can't say that just because I have been doing this and this is my source of livelihood, so I am immune from the consequences of what I am doing. I also have to see the ethical aspect of what I am doing. So in that case, when Rugari became, by Narada Muni's mercy, a great devotee, then people provided for him because he was such a devotee. And that's how he was able to deal with that situation. So the two situations are not at all analogous. They're very, very different. Thank you.